I want to share my heart with you here for a minute. It has something to do with the message tonight, but not directly in the sense of being part of the Take It Personally series. Would you go with me to Ephesians chapter 6? I believe that the Lord would have me just share a couple thoughts here with you that I believe would be appropriate. You'll remember, those of you that are interested in history or especially military history, you'll remember the account of Normandy. If you don't know much about Normandy, I encourage you to read about that, the D-Day, the invasion there in France, and with several countries invading. And it was a place where, honestly, it was the least expected place to invade. And that's one of the reasons they chose those beaches, because they were wide open. They were wide open beaches, and that's where they did, and they invaded that in 1944. And that's, of course, June 6 is where we remember D-Day and that invasion. But if when you do some research on that, it will blow your mind. You'll get many mixed emotions. It'll break your heart on the men that lost their lives that day, going onto that beach. The first wave upon those beaches, that's early 6 in the morning time frame, just at dusk, they were pretty much laid out by the German machine guns that they were set up in these bunkers once they figured out there was armies invading. And those armies went in. There was a lot of sacrifice that was done that day. But they kept on coming. But my point tonight is, and it's something I want to share with you, when those men that died for our country and were injured for our country, and I thank God for them, one of the most moving places I've ever been in my life is the cemetery there in Normandy. The cemeteries and the American cemetery. But one of the things is for sure, when those men start invading and the enemy knew what was going on, they unleashed everything they had. There was a lot of panicking going on in the German army. Generals were just in confusion. Hitler was not responding like he should have been at the time, like normally would have been. And it was crazy. But one thing they did do is they unleashed everything they had. And you say, "Preacher, where are you going with that? What's that got to do?" Well, I sense in my heart, especially the past couple weeks, and knowing my church family, you sweet, dear people, and myself, as we are preparing to invade into many territories that belong to the enemy, Satan, I am already sensing much resistance. And I am already sensing many attacks upon you people. Weird stuff, odd stuff coming out of nowhere. And church, I'm not trying to be spooky tonight. I'm not trying to be mystical. I'm trying to be biblical. We are preparing in these lessons, and then we have a family conference coming up that's just as important as what we're doing here. What we're doing is we are seriously invading the enemy's territory, and he is starting to really unleash the fiery darts at us. And those darts are seeking to discourage us. But I want to encourage you from the passage here in Ephesians chapter 6 where we studied before. I'm not going to preach on this tonight, but this is just a reminder of what we need to do. We don't need to cower. We don't need to run. But we need to stand. Look what Paul told these dear believers that were under a great attack. Verse 10, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand." Remember, we talked about that. In the evil day, and having done all to stand, and that evil day is specific attacks when they come on even stronger, that the devil will pour on his vicious attacks. And it says there, "Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace." And verse 16, "Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God." Hey, let's just be reminded of that great truth, church. I don't know about you, but I have sensed some attacks from the wicked one. And I need to remind myself of this passage. We need to remind ourselves of the passage. But look, God is with us. We are standing with God. If Satan is to do anything to us, he has to go to God first. And we stand on the truth. We stand on this book. We stand in the power of God's might. And we're not going to cower to Satan. I have news for him that he should already know. King Jesus is the greatest. King Jesus is the one he will answer to. I'll admit to the devil, I have no match for him, but he is no match for my King. And my dear friends tonight, we need to remind ourselves that King Jesus is on the throne. And I'm telling you, the devil is seeking to show his teeth to us, but remember, they're false teeth. They're dentures. They were knocked out at Calvary. And Jesus is on the throne, and He is with us, and He's holding up the battle flag of victory, and we are simply following in line. And so I just want to encourage you, my dear brethren, tonight, please do not be discouraged. I know we're facing some real battles, and I would not be surprised if they get even more severe. But that is no reason to cower. That is more of a reason to do all to stand, to withstand on the Word of God, and knowing that the Lord is going to lead us straight forward. Because He promises that even the gates of hell shall not prevail against His church. And we can claim that great promise of victory through the Lord. Would you go with me just over one more book to Galatians? Just flip over a few pages. Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. Look there with me in verse number 8. "For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting." In verse 9. "And let us," Paul including himself, "and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." And I believe that we can make some serious application to ourselves this evening to realize that, listen, we don't need to be weary. This is not the time to throw in the gloves, my dear friend. This is a time to strap them on even tighter. Because we don't need to be weary in well-doing, and that is what exactly what we're doing. And we're gonna reap great benefits because we are sowing indeed to the Spirit of God. We are not sowing to the flesh in doing this. And I am so grateful for our church family, but this is an encouragement to you all and to myself, for us as a family, to be even praying more fervently for our protection. That God would set a hedge around us as we continue to study this Take It Personally series, as we're memorizing the Word of God, and as we're seeking to prepare for this family conference that I believe is going to be a time of revival. I'm praying for that from my own heart. And so I just wanted to share these thoughts with you. I don't have time to go to it, but even there is a verse over in Hebrews that I'm reminded of as well. Listen, the Lord, He will not forget our labor of love. He knows what we're doing. And thank God, if God, let's claim this verse together. Let's claim this verse together by faith. If God be for us, who can be against us? Friend, that's not a pretend verse. That's the Word of God, and I'm claiming it. I'm claiming it, and I'm claiming it before all the forces of hell, that if God be for us, who can be against us? And that includes Satan himself. And I trust that you'll claim it by faith with me as we go forward by faith. In fact, Brother Mike, if you would prepare at the end of this time, this service, I would like to sing Faith is the Victory. Because I believe that the Lord is going to lead us straight forward to great victories. And we're going to see the Lord do some amazing things. I'm already anticipating that. And thank God for what you folks are doing already. I just want to give God the glory. Just let me brag on the Lord a little bit. I still believe we're going to get to our goal, but I am encouraged where we are right now. As far as our active membership is concerned, folks, we are at 90% people that have signed up to make a commitment to be involved in Taking It Personally. Glory to God. That is you being responsive to the Spirit of God. And I want to tell you, thank you for that. And we're going to continue. And we're going to pray for that 10% too. We're going to pray for them and encourage them and ask them to come on. Let's do it. Let's get 100%. And I trust that the Lord will do that as we go forth in His name. And can I say this too? I've talked to several of you already. Don't worry about being afraid of thinking, well, I really don't know what I'm doing. Join the club. When it comes right down to it, neither do I. I know that I some basics, and I know that God has given a direction, and we're going to seek Him by faith and do this, but we're going to leave the results up to the Lord. He's going to lead us. There's a learning curve. There are areas we're going to learn things not to do and things we do need to add. That's a part of this. And it's flexible. And it's beautiful and it's wonderful, because what that tells me, the 90% commitment coming from our church, active membership, is telling me and is speaking volumes. I am taking it personally. And that is the will of God for each of us. To take it personally. This thing's on me. I want to take ownership, and I want to tell you, church, thank you. We're going to do this together by God's grace, and it will be beautiful as long as we keep doing it according to His precious, holy will. Well, if you want to take your books there, I'm going to seek to move quickly here. Can I say this real quick before we begin our lesson tonight? On Take It Personally, in the book here, the workbook, I'm going to move quickly on some of these sections for you just to fill in the blanks up until where we're going to get to discipleship. I don't believe we'll necessarily get to discipleship before we have our launching date on March 4th. Okay? We'll continue this study through the month of March, but I do want to cover the general soul winning portion of this study and the general visitation part of it. And then the goal is, and you pray with me about this, because again, the devil, he's fighting us, and I know he is, but the goal is a week from tonight, well, we're going to go ahead and divide the teams. We'll have them divided up so everyone will see what team they're placed on. And we're not splitting up families unless, again, you give direction that you need some healthy separation from one of the children. We can maybe arrange that. I'm just kidding. I wouldn't do that to you. But you know, by the way, that's I heard that at a marriage conference one time, saying that there is a such thing. We used to joke about it, and now we're starting to understand more and more. But there is a such thing as some healthy separation. And I'll let Brother Frank cover that, okay, when he comes up. And but nevertheless, we're going to divide up the teams, and so you'll know that. Then we're going to have a special commissioning service. I am really anticipating that to be a special time blessed by the Lord. We'll do that next Sunday night by God's grace. And so some of these I'm going to go through quickly, and we'll go back through this, okay? We'll go back through these things, but tonight I do want you to get your blanks filled in so that you, now here's the key, so that you can be reviewing. Now, let me ask you to do something, parents and grandparents and singles if you're here tonight. Please review these in your personal time, and it would be a great thing to review even in family time and family Bible time. Just that time where you can be and you can discuss the things and even practice the verses, practice these things we're talking about so that it can be fresh in the hearts and minds as we're going through this. These gospel verses are going to be very important to memorize. The tips that we're going to talk about is something to be reviewing now and something that I think will be helpful. And so we remember last week we talked about understanding the gospel. Understanding the gospel, and I'm going to go through these quickly. You remember we talked about understanding that God loves you and realizing the condition that's a sinful condition. Noticing God's price for sin. There's a great price to be paid that no one can pay. And believing that Jesus did die and that He did rise again from the dead. And then it's a simple confessing our faith in Christ. And all the verses are in your book that go along with this. And by the way, again, just in case somebody missed it, these are just verses given. There are many other verses that you can put with these points, and I encourage you to do that. And I'm thankful that the Word of God has much to say about salvation. Let me turn this on. I heard Brother Mike's voice say, "Turn it on." So thank you, Brother Mike. Amen. We got sharing the gospel. So we talked about understanding the gospel, giving a clear presentation. And tonight we're going to talk about leading to a decision. Leading to a decision. That's coming to a point where you have had the opportunity to share the gospel, and now is the possibility of leading to that decision. Questions, as you'll see in your workbook, I'm not going to go through all these, but take a glance down there. Just the first one says, when you're coming to that decision, do you believe that you are a sinner, separated from God, and without the ability to save yourself? Those are some questions that need to be asked when it gets to the point where someone's truly listening to the gospel and is interested in hearing it and even showing interest of being saved. And do you believe that Jesus, God's Son, shed His blood to pay for your sin? So you see some questions there when you're leading to a decision. And then you go say, as we saw a moment ago, let's go back and look at those verses. Because listen, I am under the conviction, folks, that you can't be careful enough to make sure the person understands the gospel. You don't have to ask them to give a theological dissertation there, but they do need to understand the gospel. And the best way to do that is to ask questions. To ask questions, to see what they're comprehending. And that's something that the Holy Spirit will lead you in. So you see the passage there. And it is the belief in the heart, and a sample prayer that's put there in the book is someone that's basically admitting that they are sinners and that they are confessing that they can't save themselves. And this is just a sample. Again, please don't misinterpret this. This is not what they would have to pray exactly. We're not trying to fit people. This is given just for a guide to help us understand what it means to leading someone to the Lord and what they must understand. So we see there in Romans. Now, we'll see our next point in simply preparing to share the gospel. Preparing to share, that's your next blank, preparing to share the gospel. You see there in your book, I want you to review those verses. Most of you, I believe in this room, most of you probably would have these verses memorized. But some of you may not, and don't feel bad about that. You go back and review them and memorize them, because you will use these verses most likely at some point when you get to share the gospel. Now, I know what some of you may be thinking. Now, Brother Brinson, I am not going to be a contact person. I'm actually not even interested in being an assistant contact, so I really don't really need to get into this portion. Well, can I tell you, I understand that, but you still need this portion. Because here's the thing. You claim Christ as your Savior. What if tomorrow, just what if, you have the opportunity to share the gospel? Have you ever thought about it? I don't know about you, but I've thought about it. If I was on an airplane, now y'all say, now, preacher, you have lost your mind to be thinking about a plane crashing while you're flying. I know. But I have often thought about, if I was sitting on the plane and the plane started going down and we knew that it was probably going to be the end. I mean, if we're over the Atlantic Ocean, usually leaving from here, flying over to France, we're flying over the ocean for about 7 hours, okay, at over 600 miles an hour, okay? So we're flying over that thing a long time. If that thing starts crashing, I've often asked myself, I need to be ready to start sharing the gospel. I want to be able to tell people, look, we are about to die. I know where I'm going. Jesus died for me. Can I tell you how to be saved? If that were you on that airplane, dear friend, would you be able to share with that person how they can be saved? I certainly hope so. And if you can't, I just want to encourage you. I'm not here to condemn you. Get into this right here and understand that you can. You can share with them. And here's the thing. If you can share it with them, guess what? You can share it with them at somebody's doorstep. You can share it with them there. You can share it during an invitation time. If I were to ask you, would you please come and help this individual that's come for salvation? You could come and give a basic presentation of the gospel. And so, my point is, friend, this is for everybody. Even if you're not planning on being a contact person, you want to know for sure in your heart that you can lead someone to Calvary. Lead someone to Jesus. So we see preparing to share the gospel. And that goes back to God's love. God's love. Now, this is not in the book, but this is something that I sort of, you can write it down if you want to, but I kind of broke it down to four categories in those verses. Number one, you can jot it, pencil it in your book if you want, but I said the first one is God's love. We are introducing God's love. If somebody asks you, well, what are you doing on my doorstep? Well, we're here to invite you to church, but primarily we would like to share God's love with you. That's the introduction. Well, what do you mean by that? Okay, well, we say, well, John 3:16. Well, you know, the Bible says, for God so loved the world. And you go on with that. So then you have God's love. That's the initial thing that people need to understand. But when, and then that's the bridge to the next thing. That is man's problem. God loves you, but friend, I have some bad news at this point of the presentation. There's bad news. And what's the bad news? Bad news is that you are in sin and that you are separated from God and there's nothing you can do to save yourself. And you got the verses there. So you have God's love, but then you got man's problem. And thank God it doesn't stop there, does it? You got man's problem, but then you got God's solution. So you see God's love, man's problem, and then God's got a solution. And what is that solution? It is His Son, Jesus Christ. For the wages of sin is death, but That is one of my favorite conjunctions in the Word of God. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You got it, church. That is God's solution for that person. And then fourthly, the fourth one is then it's man's responsibility. God is offering you a gift. I used to use it with the Africans. You know, let's just pretend this is $1 million, Jeremiah, okay? You know, he'd love that. But I want to give this as a gift to you. What must you do to receive this gift, to take it? You got to take it. Simply take it. And that is what we are telling you. Listen, you have a responsibility. God is offering you His love. He paid for your sin. And without God, there is a place called hell that people go that reject this message. But you can simply be forgiven by receiving this gift by faith. Receiving the gift of God's love. God is offering you His love. It only has to be received by faith. And that is the way I break that down, just in, a little bit simple for me. But by the way, as you do this, God will help you form your own patterns and outlines. As long as you have the same truth, okay? As long as you have the same truth, it may be worded a little differently, but you got the foundation. God loves you. You're a sinner. You need to admit that, confess that, and realize that you can't save yourself. God can save you through Jesus Christ. You need to believe sincerely from your heart. So work on those verses. If you don't know them already, you will need to know them in the days ahead. So next, I want us to see dealing with common questions. You can fill that in. Now, I'm going to move through these quickly, okay, dear friend, just because of our limited time. We'll go back and talk more about these, and then when you have with your leader, there'll be team leaders and even assistant leaders that are going to be helping with these questions too. But just let me go through them. First of all, dealing with common questions. Well, first of all, we're going to be dealing with common objections. Common objections. That's your next space there to fill in. Your common objections. What do you mean by that? Well, I have always been a Christian. Brother Thomas and I were talking about that the other night. That would be your first one. Well, I've always been a Christian. Well, you see the verses there that you could use when you hear a statement that is sort of around there. Well, I've been going to church all my life. I've believed in Jesus all my life. Here are some verses that you can share, and there are others. So I want you to be reviewing these in the week ahead, okay, in the weeks to come. Another one, I've asked God to forgive me many times. That'd be the next blank, number two, page 16. I've asked God to forgive me many times. And of course, you see the verses that deal with that right there, that deal with being saved once by faith, okay? And you don't have to do it again and again and again. But as many as received Him, to them become the sons of God. You become a child of God. You can't become a child of God twice and three times and four times and so on. Once you become a child of God, truly you are a child of God for all of eternity, praise God. I am so thankful for the eternal salvation that I have. I'm so thankful. I give God praise for that. Then you got, this is too simple. I need to do something to earn it. Now, that again goes around with work, salvation. That's what all the cults believe. Even I know Jehovah Witnesses and Mormons, they do deny the deity. They deny the deity of Christ, of course, but they also have a works-based religion. All the cults do. All the cults do. A works-based religion. There's not another belief system, faith, that it depends on a Savior that died on the cross for their sins completely and wholeheartedly, covered it all. And all the other ones is based on good works. And so those verses there you see deal with earning it. And by the way, I encourage you to add to it. Add verses to it. Go look them up. But there's something to earn. You can't earn the gift that God has given. All right, moving right along. You've heard that one saying, I'm good enough. I'm not a very bad sinner. Now, this is folks that are moral. They're moral people. They do good things. They give their charities. They go to a church. And maybe they've sinned a couple times in their life. But for the most part, they're pretty good people. Well, look at the verses that deal with that from Isaiah and Romans chapter 3, verse 12. And there are more. Those are some things that you can deal with that. And then you see the number 5 is, doesn't death end everything? Doesn't death end everything? How do we know there is a real heaven and hell? Well, that's a good question. Well, you can use verses like Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27. It is appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. There is life after death. And Matthew 6, 9, after this manner, therefore pray ye, our Father which art in heaven. He's in heaven. The Father is in heaven. There is a heaven. The Bible declares there's a heaven, and the Bible declares also there's a hell. And that's Luke 16. And that's where it's been prepared for the devil and his demons, but also for those that reject the gospel of Jesus Christ. Luke chapter 16. So we see that the reality of it from the Word of God. All right? So then the next one is, I don't want to give up my lifestyle or my friends. Now you say, now, is somebody going to be that blatant and say that? Yeah, I've heard it. I've heard it. I've heard people say that. Said, preacher, I can't become a Christian. I'd have to give up my drinking. I've heard that. I can't get saved. I'd have to give up gambling. I can't get saved. I got too many things at stake. I got a business. Well, I own a liquor store. I make my living off people that just get drunk all the time. I can't. Listen, I don't want to give up that. And then these are some verses that you can share in Mark chapter 8, verse 36. And then, of course, John 15, 13, that the Lord Jesus gave His life for them. Philippians 2, 13, it is the Lord who will give them the strength to break away from that. And by the way, you don't ever, 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 can I say it one more time, ever convey the idea that that person needs to get cleaned up before they get saved. That's dangerous. We don't teach that at all, that a person has to get cleaned up before they get saved. That's a lie of the devil. Jesus, let the clean up business be left to the Lord Jesus and God's Spirit working in that individual. But we see here that is an excuse that can come forward, and you share verses with them. And can I say this? You guys remember back when we studied Daniel on one characteristic that he had that just really God blessed in a mighty way, of how courteous he was, his courtesy. And when we're sharing these truths, anytime you are sharing these things, dear friend, You've got to be with a gracious spirit. We are not there to beat the Bible over anybody's head. We are there to be of a gracious spirit, to be loving to them. We are not to if the other individual starts raising their voice, listen, you back off. That's your signal. Well, sir, I see that this is not something that you are interested in at this time. You back off. You don't get in a heated discussion. You be gracious. You give the truth, and we'll talk more about that later. But I just want to encourage you. And that will relieve you of some burdens. By the way, I want you to know, church, when you go out here in the name, number one, of Jesus Christ, but number two, as you go out in the name of Crooked Creek as your church, you are going out to be with a gracious spirit. You are not going out to bash or to degrade or to criticize other people's beliefs. I can't cover that enough. We are not going out there to criticize other people's beliefs. If we will present the gospel, the truth, because, listen, working with Muslims, you want to know how effective I would have been if I would have attacked Muhammad every time I would have gone there? I wouldn't have made it there a week, folks. A week. And they would have been sent me packing on an airplane if they wouldn't have thrown me in a prison first. Now, I know there's more religious liberty here in our country, but the principle is still there. There is courtesy involved to that where you don't attack what their beliefs are. You just give them the truth. And if they want to argue and they want to take that discussion, you tell them, look, we would love to talk with you another time. You can come to our church. You can talk to our pastor. That would be, he'd love to talk with you. But for now, our purpose of this visit is, sir, is just to present the gospel. If that is not something you're interested in at this time, we're going to move along. Very gracious. But you understand, we're not going out there to draw into great debates and things. That is something I am discouraging you from. You can answer questions. There's nothing wrong with when people are saying, well, what does your Bible say about this? Or what does your Bible say about that? Well, if you can, answer it. I was just talking to somebody earlier, and we were laughing because I've been there, and I'm sure you have too if you've ever been talking to somebody about the Lord. And it can be embarrassing, but you know what? It's good to have some humble pie every once in a while. It's good to show that you don't know everything, because do we know everything? Absolutely not. But somebody may ask you a question, like, did Adam have a belly button? They may ask that, they may not. But questions like that can come about, okay? They can come about just to try to stump you or whatnot. But there is nothing carnal. There is nothing wrong with you saying, sir or ma'am, I'll be honest with you, I don't really know the answer to that specifically. I will go and look that up, though, and I will get back to you. That there's nothing wrong with that. That's probably one of the most spiritual things you can do instead of just making up something that's going to be heretical, okay? And again, paint yourself in a box and you're just going to get yourself in a mess. It's okay to say that. I'm not sure about that, but I can get back to you. That is necessary sometimes. And so we see another one is, I think as long as I am sincere. You hear that. Well, you believe that. That's what the Baptist Church believes. That's just what you believe. I believe if everybody believes sincerely from their heart, they can be a good person, we'll be okay. Well, you can share verses that follow verse 7. I mean, number 7 there. Proverbs 14:12, John 3:36, John 14:6, Acts 4:12. Folks, can I say this? I can't emphasize enough, you know, you need to be kind and use your words of greetings and whatnot. But if all possible, the best thing you can do is get them the Word of God. That's what's going to make the difference. That's what's not going to return void, the Word of God. It will pierce. It will cut. And you want to be able to deliver the Word of God, and those are some things there. So those are some objections that you... And there are many more. You'll find out as you go out, you're going to hear all kinds of stuff. But it's good. It's good that you go out and you're hearing these things, and it's going to grow your faith. It is. It will get you into the book. It will get you home when that guy asked that question that stumped you. Like, man, I really don't know the answer to that question. You get home, you start getting into the Word. You get your Strong's Concordance and, man, get a Bible commentary to help shine some light on some things and search the Scriptures. That's what God wants us to do. And it's a healthy thing to be challenged, my dear friend. I'm afraid sometimes what we have is a bunch of cookie-cutter Christians. They believe because that's what he believes. Or I believe that because that's what they believe. No, you better believe it because you believe it. You better believe it because what God's Word says. And it's important. It's so important to be able to stand on God's Word. And if you don't have it, man, you go search it out. That's why we're here as a church. If I don't have the answer to it, I'll try to point you to somebody that does. I'll try to find the answer that I can. I don't have all the answers. But I can sure try and search and you, one thing I heard one time, you can borrow brains. You can borrow brains and people that have studied out things for years and years. That's why people use commentaries and for help and things. But one thing you can't do is borrow character. But you can borrow help in that and people helping you shine light on those types of things. I must hurry very quickly. Can you just fill in these blanks? We'll go into this another time. Another objection you get is the deity around the deity of Christ. That's most likely when you're running into one of our neighbors that is a Jehovah's Witness or what I liked more technically to be labeled them as Russellites. We are the real Jehovah's Witnesses. Glory to God. I'm a witness of the Jehovah of the Bible, of the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you? They've stole that name, dear friend. But anyway, we know that that's the title they have in society. But we need to know verses that deal with the deity of Christ. Look over those verses. We see it talks about His deity because of His names. We see it talks about His deity because of His works. You can fill these in. This is page 20. Number one, His names, because of His works. He created the world. He upheld the world. Hebrews 1:3. He forgives sin. Only God can forgive sin. Even the Pharisees realized that. You can see that He gives eternal life. John 17:2. We see His deity is shown through worship. Through worship. He was worshipped. Disciples worshipped Him. It's very clear that Jesus Christ received worship. We see His deity is shown through His attributes, because of His power. We see in Matthew 28, you see there, write that down, that's page number 22, His attributes. Number five, we see His deity because of His resurrection. Because of His resurrection, Luke chapter 24, verses 1 through 7. And of course, again, there are many other verses you can use. These are just some things for you to base off of and to go and do some research yourself and to prepare yourself. It is the utmost importance to familiarize yourself with these verses and the fact that Jesus Christ is the God-man, the Son of God. The deity of Christ is so, so important. Now I'm going to go through even quicker on these next ones. We'll go back, but just fill them in as we go. We're talking about making a soul-winning visit. You need to look at these example conversations. These are things that you could just kind of get an idea of what we would expect to say at a doorstep. These are very similar things that we would say. Introduce yourself. Of course, that's a no-brainer. You don't stand at the doorstep and then just start talking about the Bible. And then you're going to embarrass yourself, and you're going to embarrass our church by doing something like that. And you just first thing you need to say is, "Look, my name is so and so." All right. And some of you, they're going to think they saw it at the post office the week before. I know, but we're trying to scale that down to where that won't be a problem. Okay. But no, you just introduce yourself. And that should not be a problem. You're going to introduce your church. What this will help do, this will help alleviate, because a lot of people, the first thing they think when people's on their doorstep, what do they think? Jehovah's Witness. That's what they usually think, because the Mormons, of course, they got the white shirts and the black tie. And so please, when we go, please do not wear that. I could just see Jeremiah now coming with a name tag just to be funny. But we want to definitely be casually dressed, in the sense of, you know, we'll talk more about that, but we definitely don't want to come across in the wrong way. We're not going to wear suit and ties out there when we go witness. We will look presentable and for the Lord, but we're not going to look like them. But we see that introduce our church, explain the purpose of the visit. Invite them to your church. All right, that's just a simple invitation. The next one is determine if this is the right time to continue the visit. That's so important. We'll be talking more about that. And as you contact people, go out with your contact assistants. It is so important that you ask the Lord even before you go to be discerning. If somebody's in a hurry, I don't care what it is, because it happens. It happens at your house. You're in the middle of something, man, you got something in the oven, you got laundry going or something, you fellas, the ball game's on. I mean, you know, you don't want to be interrupted, okay? But sometimes if you see the person is being inconvenienced and they really don't have the time, you really, really need to be discerning and say, "Sir, ma'am, I realize you're real busy. It appears you're really busy. Can I just leave you with our church invitation?" And then you go on about the route, okay? We don't want to be pushy in that way. We need to be understanding that people are have things going on, and to just be courteous. But determine if it's the right time to continue. If not, just leave a simple invitation. And then look for opportunity to turn the conversation. That's the other blank on page 26. That's to turn it to the gospel. And that might be an opportunity. We'll talk more about the bridge conversation. For instance, when you're talking to somebody, just short talk, and then when you want to have a bridge phrase. And that is, you know, when you can bridge your conversation to the gospel. And we're getting some information together for you that to help you with those things to introduce the gospel. Talking about exchanging contact, that would be on page 27. We really want to always try to exchange contact information if the person is willing. If they're not trying to shut the door to get out or whatever, we want to be respectful of that. It wouldn't be like, okay, you know, you come to the door, I don't want anything. It would not be a good idea to say, sir, you didn't give me your phone number. You don't want to do that, okay? You just go on about your business and pray for that individual. Amen? And ask the Lord to work in their heart. So then you see the next one on your page is practical tips, and that would be the end of until we go into our discipleship. We'll go through this again, but I wanted to give you the fill in the blanks, so I want you to go back and study these. Parents, please go home and study these with your family and look over these together. And talk about them. Let your kids ask questions. Let them ask hard questions. Difficult questions. It's good. It's healthy. And it's real. And it's something that we need to do and take very seriously. In our closing here, I do want to just take an opportunity real quick for Brother David, if you would make your way up here. We're going to just do a little bit of role playing just here at the very end of our service. Jeremiah, are you wanting to help us? All right. Well, we're going to start off, and we're not going to get into anything deep tonight. We're just going to, again, go over to basically what we've talked about, just simple presentations of the gospel. And we're not trying to argue anything tonight. We'll get into that later, and when Mrs. Stone gets ready to really let somebody have it, okay? But anyway, I'm coming up to the door and going to knock. How you doing, sir? My name's Brinson from Crooked Creek Baptist Church. How you doing?
Pretty good.
Okay. Hey, would it be all right if we leave you with an invitation from our church?
Sure.
Okay, sure. Do you have a home church anywhere?
Kind of, you know, we go to that, we're Catholic.
Oh, yeah, okay. Well, hey, listen, let me leave you with that and tell some things about our church, the times of our services, and a little bit of information about our church. But also on the back, you'll notice that it talks about the gospel. It talks about how you can be for sure of heaven when you die. Is that something that you know for sure, sir?
Something I have to think about.
Okay. Well, sir, would now be a good time for me to open my Bible and show you what it means to be a Christian and know how to for sure you're going to heaven?
I think we're busy today, but you know, maybe sometime.
Okay. Well, no problem. Can I get your name, sir?
David.
David. Okay. Well, David, thank you for your time. If you would keep that and read over that. If you have any questions, please call us. Please contact us. Would it be okay if I come by another time or if our pastor comes by to visit?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, you have a great day, sir. All right. That wasn't too bad, was it? Something like that, something to that degree. Now, they're not all going to be that nice, okay? And they're not all going to be that interested. But now it's my turn, David, so you come and knock on the door. You need to knock harder. Oh, yeah, okay, yeah. Hey, how's it going?
Pretty good. My name's David. I'm from Crook Creek Baptist Church just down the road. How are you doing?
Oh, yeah, doing pretty good. Pretty good. Are you one of those Mormon guys?
Oh, no, we're Baptist.
Oh.
I didn't catch your name. What was it?
My name's Brinson.
Okay, good to meet you, Brinson.
Yeah, good to meet you, too. So what brings you around this area?
Well, we are just going around in the neighborhood talking to people about how they can know for sure that they're on their way to heaven.
Oh.
You ever heard about Jesus? I'm sure you have.
Yes, I have. Oh, I have. I've heard a lot about him.
What's your background? What did you hear about him?
Well, you know, I went to the Baptist church pretty much all my life and, you know, baptized at the age of 10. You know, just.
Okay.
That's about it.
Sounds good. You mind if I ask you a personal question?
Oh, well, you know, my wife, go ahead. Yeah.
Okay. Has there ever been a time that you can think of, you know for sure, that you made a decision to believe in Jesus Christ and ask him to forgive all your sins?
Well, David, I'll be honest with you. I don't know that I have. I've been in religion. I've been to church before, but I really never got into it, if you know what I mean. I've never really committed myself.
Yeah. Well, you know Jesus said you have to be born again to have eternal life, right? You heard that before?
I've heard something like that. What does that mean?
Well, you know John 3:16, right? Almost everybody.
I've heard of it. Yeah.
For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son.
Mm.
That whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life.
Mm.
In the same chapter of the Bible, Jesus Himself says, "Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God."
Mm.
Well, I'm sure I want to see the kingdom of God. I'm sure you do, Brinson.
Yeah, I would.
Well, Jesus said you have to be born again. Now, let me ask you this question. When you were born the first time physically, were you just, was it just kind of some vague experience sometime in the past and not at any particular time?
No. My birth, I know my birth date.
Your mom probably does too, doesn't she?
Yeah, I'm sure she does.
She probably knows the exact minute.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. I understand that.
You know what that shows us? There's one specific time that we're born. And if Jesus says we have to be born again, there's one specific time we're born again too.
Mm.
And the Bible tells us we're born again when we realize that because God loves us so much, Jesus came to this earth and died to pay the penalty of all of our sins.
Mm.
You ever heard of the Ten Commandments?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, you know, those list out a bunch of things that
show
that we're sinners.
I know I'm a sinner. You just ask my wife.
But Jesus died to pay all of the penalty of those sins.
Mm.
Do you know what happens to somebody if they die in their sins?
Well, I've heard that they go to a place called hell. I've always heard that.
That's exactly what the Bible says. The book of Revelation says that even all liars. That doesn't sound like a really bad sin, does it?
Mm.
I mean, even, you know, politicians do it all the time. But all of us do too.
Yeah.
Even in little ways, little white lies. Everybody's heard that. Well, the Bible says all liars shall be in the lake of fire.
Mm.
Well, that's a big problem, isn't it?
Yeah,
but
it is.
But Jesus says that whoever believes on Him is going to have eternal life. Well, how's that going to work together? Because all of us have sinned.
Yeah.
The Bible tells us Jesus died to pay all the penalty of our sin.
Mm.
So someone is born again the moment that they realize what Jesus has done for them, how He's died, He's risen again, and He paid the penalty of all our sins, and we come to Him for complete forgiveness.
Mm.
It's not something we do, but something we believe.
Well, David, I, you know, be honest with you, I don't really know how to do this. I hear what you're saying, and that sounds good, but do I need to get baptized again? I mean, when I was 10, is that not good enough, or do I need to come to your church and do I need to pay a certain amount? I mean,
you know, the Bible says it's not by works of righteousness that we do. It doesn't matter what good things you do, you don't have to earn God's favor. The Bible says that it is a gift of God.
Mm.
What do you do with a gift? How, if I want to give this to you, what do you have to do for it to be yours forever?
Well, I just take it.
You just take it. It's exactly what this is. The Bible says that eternal life is the gift of God through Jesus Christ. So when you come to Jesus Christ, believing that He has died for all of your sins and He's paid the complete price, He will give you that free gift of eternal life because you take it. Not because of anything you do, not because of your baptism, not because of any good works that you do, not anything you try to do, not church attendance. Just coming to Him because He is God.
Mm.
And He's the only one who can deliver us from our sins.
Mm.
We're too small, too weak.
Well, it's probably not possible to do something like this right now, though, is it? I mean, this is like Saturday and things are going on. Would it be better for me just to come to your church and do something like this? Because I am interested.
It could happen right at this moment. The Bible tells us that God is in all places at all times. So He is with us right here, right now, just as He would be with us at church or any other place. So if you believe that Jesus Christ died, do you believe that Jesus Christ died for your sins?
I do. I do.
Do you believe that He rose again and that He can give you eternal life if you ask Him to?
Yeah, I believe that.
Okay. The Bible says you can make that decision right now, and if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved.
Wow.
Have you done that in your heart?
Oh, I can't say that I have, but I'd like to.
Okay, we can do that right now.
Okay. All right, folks. That's very real. It could happen just like that. It's not always like that, but there are times where people are ready. God has prepared them already. They've heard seeds have been planted, folks have watered, and there will be people out there right now that are going to be ready just like that. They're ready. But the question is, are we ready? And that's what we're doing with this Take It Personally. We're getting ready. We want to take it personally and understand that there are people out there waiting for us to tell them the pure gospel. Not that they need to be in church. We will invite them to church. Not to tell them that they need to give more money. Not to tell them they need to be baptized, which that would come if they would come to Christ. Not to tell them anything else but the pure gospel of Jesus Christ. And by God's power and grace, we will see people come to know the Lord. And there are going to be people in this church I'm talking to right now that have never, ever personally led somebody to the Lord. And you're going to be able to do that. And it's going to be an awesome thing. And God's going to get all the glory. And it's going to be a wonderful thing. And like I said in the very beginning, it's not going to come without a battle. And so let's don the armor, stand, and let Jesus lead the way.
Amen.
And He's the mighty God, the mighty King. He carries the battle flag of righteousness, and we just get in line and follow Him. And so we'll go through it more in the coming weeks, next week and a half. Thank you, Brother David, for doing that.